Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
This is good. Well, before I really get into it, now you're looking pretty handsome there, buddy. Look at you, Mr. Man. I wanted to just add a couple things here. Sarah, thank you for making that announcement, Sarah. I know that that's been on your heart, on Joel's heart. Ty and Laura are involved with that process of dreaming this and creating a space for people to come. This is exactly the model of ministry that we at New Covenant want to engage in, where we understand that God has compelling vision over your life, that there's a purpose, that God has put his, you know, his spirit in you for particular reasons, in particular seasons, in the region that you live in, with the people that you're around, in the sphere that you have of influence. And when we connect with that vision and we take the courage to initiate like steps towards living that out, then my goodness, what we get to experience is a shared vision together. So that being said, some of you might imagine then that there was, I don't know, maybe like a board meeting and we decided, okay, these are the ministries that we want. And okay, now we need to convince volunteers to do these ministries. Let's ask Sarah if she'll do that. That's not how it worked. That system of doing church is common, and there's nothing wrong with that type of leadership where people are like leaders are experiencing the presence of the Lord, and they're giving guidance, and then they help initiate things. But one of the things that we are intentionally about here at New Covenant is asking the Lord to minister his grace to the variety of people that are in this fellowship and then giving them the courage and the grace to step up into that so that they're the ones who are having not only shared leadership but shared vision. And then when we, in the context of relationship together, begin to weave that together with what's going on in your life and your life and your life and your life, then all of a sudden we have this fabric of being the body of Christ where the different ministries are being birthed out of that genuine, organic place of relationship with the Father. And so thank you for initiating that and taking the courage to step into that. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. So good job. Keep it up, everybody. All right. I would like to pray. Father, thank you for just inspiring us and giving us what we need to be your family and to be the body of Christ in Woodland Park and in this region. And so we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, now that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Last week I started a 2-week part. This is going to be a relatively short talk here. I just want to get some things pushed out into the realm of your imagination, into the realm of your dreamscape so that you can start imagining things with me. Last week I talked about, just the question, really. It was a question, and the question was not one of those sarcastic questions that, you know, you should know the answer to this. Like, if you don't answer yes to this, then something's wrong with you and you need to get with the program. It wasn't that kind of question. It was a genuine, heartfelt question that asked, are you personally ready to go deeper in relationships with the body of Christ? And we explore the reasons why we don't, why we stay at a surface level. Some of us can relate to seasons in our life where we've experienced perhaps some trauma even, being a part of the body of Christ, whether that was just through, I mean, some of the blatant things would be like spiritual abuse, but some of the more subtle things have to do with transition that caused relationships to shift and change, and we weren't really told. It was never sewn into the seed of the fabric of our existence as Christians together that that's going to happen. And then when it did happen, we felt a disloyalty, we felt a pain and a loss that we quite honestly didn't even know how to grieve sometimes. And so we barred our heart against future hurt like that because it hurts so much. And so that being said, there's reasons why we surface, and there's a reason why we have to ask ourselves honestly, am I personally ready to go deeper in relationships? Because I relayed the story, and I won't tell you all this. You can listen to the podcast from last week. I told you the story about scuba diving in Cozumel and how the master diver told us, get about 2 feet from the ocean floor and then let the current drift you along the coral and watch everything that's passing by you. And if you rise up above that kind of depth, you'll experience a turmoil in the current that's going to run faster than where your group is, and you're going to get sent off and separated from your group. You're going to get disoriented. And so that analogy for me was like, wow, how many of us have experienced that turbulence in the depths of our relationships with each other, and we surfaced because it was just, we felt disengaged, just whatever we felt. And that's why the question is posed, are we personally ready to go deeper in our relationships with the body of Christ, with each other, and allow the Spirit to move us in a way that we get to not only personally experience some pretty amazing things, but we get to engage life in this region in a way that actually, and this is where it turns a corner for me, we get to engage life in this region and in this community in a way where people fall in love with Jesus and become disciples of Jesus. Where it extends beyond our ability to be together in deep relationships. But in that place, there's a response of our heart where we want other people to share in that as well. We want the lost children of God to come in. We actually want to put it in our field of vision that the reason why we would gather together and nurture depth of relationship and transparency and all of these things is for the sake of, it's a glove in hand sort of relationship. It's not just so that we can be together and experience depth and live out the gospel of Jesus together, but we're going to extend that out into the reaches of our community and the different facets and the subcultures and the ways that God wants to bring us into a relationship with people who are not yet in relationship with Jesus, and disciple them in a way where one day we could imagine they could actually initiate and help facilitate a type of gathering of people where it's multiplied for another generation. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if we had people coming in to a gathering of ours, and we looked at them as potential disciplers? Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's saying, follow me, come and be in my group, I guess the word that I've captured over the last couple of years, I haven't captured it, it's not mine. I learned this phrase actually about 5 years ago, missional community. Jesus says, come and be a part of my missional community, walk with me, and together you're going to learn how to facilitate missional communities. You're going to be fishers of men. You're going to be people who have actually understood the gospel in such a way, like you are founded not in a program, but in the gospel. Like you understand the gospel in such a way that you can rest in the assurance that it is a finished work that Jesus has done, that you don't have to strive. You don't have to go to a meeting in order to appease your God. You can actually gather together because of the love that you share between you, not because of a program that's managed and maintained by human endeavor, but the Holy Spirit is between you. And the Holy Spirit unifies you. And you understand from Ephesians 4 that there is one spirit and one body. That word body is the word soma. There is one body. So there's a guy that I've been tracking for 5 years. His name is Jeff. He's from Tacoma, Washington. And he's a pastor. And he started this this form of doing life together where families are on mission together, and they call them missional communities, and they call their group Soma. So that's where some of the language, but I've been watching them, and I watched them close enough over the last 5 years that about a year and a half ago, I started to align myself with some people locally. Ben Pasley's one of them, and then a gentleman out of Kansas City, Joe Steinke, who came on a quarterly basis there for several months and began to talk more specifically about what would it look like for the body of Christ to live intentionally in such a way that they began to make disciples of their city. In such a way that they actually kick the box in or out, and they realize that an equipping center like a church like this is hugely important, and yet there's an invitation for more that has to do with a rhythm of life where people are gathering together on a more frequent basis so that they can do life together. They're not going to a small group meeting. They're gathering together because they know that that sort of rhythm and touch point together is actually going to be nurturing the relationships that are like the net. When Jesus says the kingdom is like a net that is cast out, the relationships that we have, we're knit together. And we're knit together not because we're signing up for a program. We're knit together because our hearts know each other. Like, we know each other's story. We understand the purposes of God for each other. We actually welcome the prophetic gift of God through His Holy Spirit, where we can see each other more clearly from the vantage point of God. And we begin to agree with that and speak into each other's lives in that way, where people are encouraged to go further and deeper and take risks and connect with. So, for example, there's one missional community that I know of where they decided, on the leading of the Holy Spirit, that the particular group that they were going to focus on didn't come to church. So instead of them trying to create an event at the church and then hope that those folks would come into the church, they decided, we're actually going to go to them. Which means that on a regular basis, that missional community or members of that smaller group that is known as a missional community began to go to the pub and began to have conversations with people in the pub and began to build relationships with people where they were in a way that was healthy and wholesome and in a way that did not curb the story of God over there, but brought the story of God in with, began to understand where these people were at, like for real, and then began to pray as a missional community. When that missional community met together and maybe they had a meal together once a week, and they were like, what's going on in your sphere of influence? Like, who are you connecting with? How can we pray? And they began to pray, I'm meeting this guy like once a week over here at this pub, and he's telling me about these families that he knows in his neighborhood, and the kids don't eat. Like, they go to school or whatever it is. I don't even know the story completely, other than I know that this missional community stepped up in a way that says, okay, well, what we're going to do then is, as a missional community, we're going to establish something of an after-school care program. So you see how it all of a sudden grew hands and actually like reached out and had a very intentional focus where they did something to help meet a need that was revealed through relationships that were built in the community. And the story just goes on about how many of the people who were the lost children of God came in to the family of God through that modality of relating and connecting with people in very, I guess it would be missional way. I mean, because if you were a missionary in Pakistan or in Nepal or anywhere else, it would be not only encouraged, but it would be like very wise of you to actually understand the culture that you're ministering in. And instead of duplicating your American Western culture in that as a pocket and then inviting everyone to come in a very wholesome way, in a very naturally supernatural way, being led by the Holy Spirit, you would integrate the culture that you're in. That's why it's missional. And it opens us up because it opens up our hearts in a way that, okay, if I know that I'm called to full-time ministry, most of us in our upbringing, we understood that that meant one of two things. You were either going to be a pastor or you're going to be a missionary. And yet you had this thing in your heart where you're like, I don't really feel called to missions, like in the classical sense of joining a sending agency and being sent out and being on the field. I feel something different. I feel like I am supposed to be in full-time ministry, but I don't want to go to seminary, and I don't want to be a pastor in the classic sense, and I don't want to be a missionary in the classic sense. What do you do with that? Well, what you do with it is you understand that your life in the kingdom is fully integrated in what God is calling you to, and your life can be expressed in ways that I'm just describing, and that is full-time ministry. Your life becomes the ministry. Your ministry is integrated in your life. It's not compartmentalized into, hey, I'm a Christian, therefore I go to like a meeting a couple hours a week on a Sunday morning, or maybe I go to a small group because that's really being encouraged in our church. You see what I'm pushing out here? I'm pushing out something that you as a fellowship, you understand, because it has been integrated into the fabric of who we are and the value set of who we are. Now, if you're new to this fellowship and you're coming from a culture of Christian church that has been more compartmentalized, then this might challenge you a little bit. And you might start asking questions like, well, what does this really mean? Like, if I were to actually connect with this fellowship in a way that was more than just surface. Like, I actually said yes to the question, and I decided to go deeper in relationship with people and connect with what God's doing. What does that really mean? Does that mean that it's going to, like, engulf my life? Pretty much. Our life is engulfed in the power and the presence of the King because we are kingdom people. The kingdom of God in our lives, the rule and reign of Christ Jesus, integrates into every facet of who we are. Who we are as parents, who we are as family members, brothers and sisters, co-workers, friends, coaches, people who are on committees at the city government level, people who are artists and who are musicians and engage a culture of people in various places throughout this region. The kingdom of God is flowing in and through all of that and in and through our lives. And so there's a reason why this question is posed. Are you ready to personally go deeper in relationship with the body of Christ? Because like all good disciples are encouraged to count the cost, you need to understand that part of the cost is going to be you giving up some of your entitlements. It's my house. It's my money. It's my time. Talk about the influence of a culture that filters into the church. This sense of entitlement that we're raised in as Americans, being filtered into who we are as the people of God, And one of the great challenges that we have then is to pause, genuinely as an act of worship, remember that when we call Jesus Lord, he is literally Lord over all things in our life, including our time and our money and our house. Oh, that sacred place. And it's not to say that you're going to have to dismember all of the things that are true about you and your value set, where all of a sudden now, as an introvert, you're being asked to be an extrovert. I'm not saying that. God knows who you are. He knows the people that you will most effectively connect with and touch and speak to and encourage and live the gospel with in a way that you can be yourself. And yet there's that sense of entitlement that we have to kind of wrestle with and let the Holy Spirit give us courage to answer the question of, am I willing to relinquish this back to you, Lord? And if you were to ask me, like, to maybe open up my home once a month so that I could host a gathering of people where we have a shared meal together and we have conversation about things like all the stuff I'm talking about, you would be okay with that. Because one of the things that's hugely important as I push this out in the way of vision, really, that's what I'm doing, right? Like, I'm saying, what would it be like if we were to imagine, like, what would it be like if we were to faithfully connect with the fact that our Sunday morning gathering, that couple of hours a week, isn't all that God's calling us to? And we were to imagine sharing life together in a way where we had an intentionality to not only nurture relationships between us, but imagining what it's going to look like in Cripple Creek with the dealers and the bartenders and the waitresses and the security and all the people who kind of live in that world. Like, what would it be like for us to connect with that in a way that's naturally being led by the Holy Spirit? I mean, that's the stuff I'm talking about. So you've been living in this for a couple of years. Well, how many years now have you been up there? Five? Six and some. So when you hear me talk about this stuff, you're getting it because the Holy Spirit pushed you into that realm kind of ahead of us in some ways. I remember the conversation that Stuart had with me when he was faced with receiving a job over there. And he was like, I feel like this is good, but I don't feel like it fits the mold of what I've always grown up with as a pastor's son, to understand this is my place as a Christian in the world. Like, how is it that God would want me to integrate so deeply into that culture? And you've been integrated into that culture. And you've not only had, like, you know, the joys of that, but also the sufferings that have come with that as well. And the thing that I recognize, and the reason why I'm pointing Stuart out here, is because in large part, Stuart's been doing this alone. And wouldn't it have been amazing, and won't it be amazing in the years to come, when you are in relationship with like-minded people who can encourage you and speak the gospel truth into your journey and encourage you in a way that builds you up, and, you know, and maybe even in a shared context where you're like, hey, I want to meet at the pubs with some people, but I don't want to go by myself. Now I got some comrades who are going to come in with me, and we're going to just open up a space for spirit conversation with people that wouldn't come in here. Is this touching home? Come here. Say it. I want to hear your heart.
I figured out Cripple Creek is, I mean, it's like a leper colony, and everybody has leprosy, so it's no big deal. You know, your relationship falls off, your arm falls off. It's like, oh yeah, well, that guy's over there lost a leg too. It's not that big a deal, but, it's incredibly needy. But my, you know, and I've had this idea of there's two bars and one in particular that's like, you know what, if we could just get together. And some of the dealers I work with are like, they're believers, you know, but they work Sundays. They work, you know, they work Saturday night. And so going into, you know, coming here would be good, but logistically and stuff, it just doesn't happen. And so on my heart has been to start this maybe on a Wednesday afternoon or something like that, kind of an odd time. Works really well with a dealer schedule. But, yeah, I've been by myself. It just hasn't clicked. And that whole thing of, are you ready to go deeper? It's like, yeah, the turbulence analogy is really fit. So, and the things I found out, even after 6.5 years of being up there, just some stories that got kicked around. This kid that I'd never would, you know, responsible. He's a manager on duty, and found out that his sister is living in a bunch of shacks that there are. I mean, Cripple Creek has a slum. I also was Victor. But no, they have their own, like, slum of shacks and poverty, and I didn't even know that. I mean, I knew the meth. I know the meth heads and stuff like that. The gambling addictions and people blowing their paychecks, you know, within days of getting it. But I just been like, God, how do we impact this? I mean, it's just like there's so many. It's like somebody coming in with a variety of diseases, and where do you start? I don't know. There's been some good stuff. Definitely some good stuff, but it's a tough place. It's a real tough place.
And the point is, you've been alone in that journey, and so the question that you bring up, like, what do you do with that? In the context of, I guess, the phrasing that I'm using here, a missional community, those questions can be answered in a way where it's a shared leadership, a shared responsibility, a shared thing that you and other like-minded people are connecting with, and you're reaching out in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I aspire to for you. That's what I aspire to for all of us, is that we not feel like we're doing this alone. So I wanted people to get a glimpse of your heart in this. And that being said, it's like you bring a reality to the fact that we live in a community and in a culture that has legitimate needs, and that have lost children of God, you know, who are searching in all sorts of ways and shapes and forms, and their hearts are not content. If we are gospel people who understand the reality of Jesus and what he has done, and what he has done to us, he wants to do through us, then that changes our lens. So thanks for sharing that, man.
Yeah.
Because I think not only of that, I mean, that, for some of you, you're like excited about the possibility of connecting with Stuart. Others of you, you probably went, that's a little too deep, too quick, you know. But there's a lot of things in between. Like, I think about the Cantrell family, and I think about the fact that, you know, Michael, he jumped into coaching in Woodland Park school system, and he connected with families and with students, and he's got a perspective on this community that not a lot of people have because of those experiences that he had. And so I would think about you as a family. And I've often looked at you as a family who connects with this, where you don't feel disloyal when you're not here on the Sunday morning, because you know, seriously, because you know that there's a much larger story that you are a part of that involves relationship here and people and worshiping corporately and the encouragement and the teaching that can come to you. But you also know that there's mission that God has placed in your life, and there's purpose for why you're here. There's purpose for why you built the house you built. There's purpose for what God's doing in your life. And it has to do with other people. Like you, of all the people most recently that I know, I have met more people who have come in here, or I've met out in this, and they're like, yeah, we're friends with the Cantrells. How long have you been in Woodland Park? A year. Yeah, please, come on up.
We've come to this church off and on, actually. It's been almost 2 years. And our desire is really to have life community, real relationships, not come to church, go home relationships. And I've been grieved and in tears many times because I've tried to have relationship with this body. And for some reason outside of Chris, no one has ever invited us over or anything. And I don't say this to condemn, but it's made me broken and grieve and even leave the church and come back. And in the midst of that, wanting fellowship here and not getting it, we are missional. My husband's not here today. We're going to watch football. He's cleaning the house because we have people coming over. And we open up our home every single weekend and invite people over. And I think it was by the Lord not allowing us to have breakthrough in this community here in this body. Well, we just got to make friends. And so we've been very intentional. And God has used it. And I can say that he's provided a neat community of hodgepodge people. Sometimes my husband will invite people over that I don't think the church would even sit with. So that's on different outings. But it's been good. But I just say that to encourage you guys within this body. There's people, I met a girl 2 weeks ago in here who the Mormons are knocking on her door every day. And she said, not one person in the Christian community is connecting with me. And I broke free. I'm here in Colorado because I'm trying to get out of that, but they're the ones that are wanting to have relationship with me. I've been calling her every week. I've yet to get together with her because I think relationship scares people. But I'm going to have coffee with her and going to have breakthrough because I'm determined. So I want to encourage you guys to get out of your comfort zones. And I think that there are a lot of people here that do have neat community groups, but what about the people that are coming in and can't break into those groups? Because I felt that. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. So just a challenge. And I love you, and you're my family, and I'm here. So
thank you for saying that. It's hard to hear it. It's hard to hear that. If you've got a lens where you feel condemned, then shift out, put the lens of, what is the Lord inviting us into? This is all about invitation. Again, there's a reason why we've surfaced. I'll close with this. Nicolette brought just the importance of creating a space where we can express the visions of God that he places in us. I'll walk it around like this. Some of you have seen this. It's been up in my office. Dana actually painted this, I think, in 2013. And you painted this during a gathering that we had here on a Sunday morning where we had an extended time of worship and people were encouraged to get a picture from the Lord and paint it or draw it. And she drew this and it jumped out at me. There were a lot of great paintings that happened that morning and continue to happen on a regular basis. But this one jumped out. I asked her if I could hold on to it. And she gave it to me. A year or so ago, we started to connect with some people. And it became kind of a pilot for my own heart, like a pilot group, where I was just like, this missional community thing, I don't want to just like bang the drum on the latest and greatest new thing. Like, so I actually want to live it out a bit and let it filter in a way that makes deeper sense to me, that gives me courage to step out and to facilitate this on a regular basis. So for over a year, we've been connecting with four other couples and their children, and we've been meeting on a rhythm of about once a week, and we have a shared meal. And the beauty of it is what it started out with, and I'll talk more about this next week, is it's shared leadership. I'm actually not in charge. I may have been an initiator where I was like, you know, sending out the first of many emails that made it through the thread. But that actually turned a corner pretty quick in our relationships together, where now other people are taking the initiative. and we're going from one home to another home to another home. Every week it's in a different home out of these homes. And then there's a theme for our meal together. We all bring kind of like, you actually email, it's not as hodgepodge, although we've had some that were hodgepodge, but most of them are like, hey, it's going to be Mexican, and I'll bring the this and that, and then other people will email. And it takes all of about 10 minutes of your week to just coordinate that kind of stuff. And we get together, and we spend a couple hours together, actually three, like 5:30 to 8:30. And we've been connecting with Jeff's videos. He's got 24 videos. So what we do is we watch one of those videos during the week on our own. And when we come back, the questions that he poses at the end of his videos about missional communities and about the different facets of what's important to think about, those are springboards into conversations that we have. Typically, however, our group does not hinge our meeting or our group on that. Again, it's not a meeting per se, where that conversation often sparks real-time challenges that we're facing. There's a level of transparency that has emerged because we have become a safe place. There's prayer offered every week. For a season, about 6 months, every time we met, we had communion together. We circled around the person of Jesus. We shared our stories, and we're at the place now where we're kind of challenged in our own group here, in our own self. And we call the group Aspen Grove, because as you can see here, and we all know this from science, right? The aspens share the same root system. It's like not born or maintained or managed from human endeavor. So Holy Spirit, we give you reign. As the Lord Jesus Christ is king over this fellowship, and we ask you now to lead us and to guide us and to give us courage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me push that out with you guys. There's more to come next week.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.